Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. My name is Michael Colligan, and I'm the host, and I'm happily joined by Greg Eric, the other host from Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'm in Toronto, Canada, and today we're joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Richard Whiten. Richard has devoted his entire career. He's laughing because I was giving an instruction on how to pronounce the last name there. Richard has devoted his entire career to the lighting industry that has spanned some 60 years, starting in the UK with General Electric Company in London, then on assignment for this for the same company in Toronto and then Chicago. Declining to return to the UK, Richard elected to stay in America and went on to work for such companies as Halo Lighting, Divine Lighting, Steiner Electric, and others. Richard claims to have no retirement skills and so continues to work full-time, working for Louvers International as their Director of Business Development. Richard has many accomplishments, but is most proud of his 55 years of continuous service with the IES. Some personal facts: he was born in the UK, he had a boarding school education, associate degree in electrical engineering from Salford University. He emigrated to America in 1968 from Canada. Literally, on July 4th, 1976, he was one of the 1776 that became U.S. citizens celebrating the bicentennial. He is a member of the Association of Energy Engineers, twice awarded Energy Engineer of the Year. He's an ILAD member, amongst other things. There's a lot that we're going to talk to Richard here in a second. But before we do, Greg, we got to check out this ETI Lighting, ETISSL.com.
They're powerhouse, man. And I'm telling you what, now they're coming in with their outdoor lighting lineup. 8 new additions. They got a slim canopy, their Versa area LED light, Versa floodlight, Versa pack adjustable wall pack where you can tilt it and move it, a full cutoff wall pack for the dark skies that we like, or the restoring of the darkness, the modern wall pack, security wall pack, and traditional wall pack. So basically anything you need outdoor they have, and they also have a color selectable, 3K, 4K, 5K, all the mounting and distribution options you need. You can light everything with ETI and your outdoor. So check it out.
They're hot. Coming out hot. ETISSL.com. Check them out, folks. And of course, members of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. If you have light bulbs in a warehouse, that's right, you. If you're listening to this, do you have light bulbs in a warehouse? Yeah, you do. Do you sell them over the counter? Do you sell them on a website? Do you sell them over the phone? Do you ship them to people? The National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors is your association. That's right. It's your voice. It is your critical shield against the machinations of government and 501c3 organizations that are attacking us at all times. So go to NAILD.org if you want to support your voice in the lighting industry. Richard, welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
Thank you so much. And kudos to your passion.
Never short of that.
Never short of that. Never disappointed.
That was an intense intro there, and I had the pleasure of actually going to Louvers where Richard works and talking with him. And by talking, I mean we got to hear from him for a good long chunk of time. That was very interesting. So I'm like, you got to get on the podcast, and that's why he's on it today. But when you read all that stuff, I mean, that's a history you've got. And Richard, my first question is, why the 55 years of continuous service to the IES is most important to you?
Well, because I think that really goes back to why you're still in this industry. And the reason is that I don't know any other industry that's that evolving, that exciting. I mean, 60-odd years in this industry, in the last 10 years, I've probably had to learn more than the previous 40 years. Because it keeps on evolving. So the challenge is to keep up with this. And so the only way you can really do that in my mind, in my world, is through the IES and continue attending their seminars, webinars, going to their national conventions and mixing with the people, your peers, and just learning what it's all about. So another delicate subject of mine, so you can sell the product. You know, you go to present a product in the marketplace today, and the first thing they want to know is price. Wait a minute, I haven't told you about the product yet.
Isn't that so true?
I haven't qualified why you would want to pay this price for this product. Can I please tell you about the product, what it does and how it does and why it's supposed to do this? So I get a little passionate about that as well.
And what got you into the IES 55 years ago? What was the moment where you said, you know, I need to join this?
Well, some know this story, so it hopefully it bears worth repeating. So I was a rookie salesman in the West End of London and making a sales call. And I went into this consultant engineer and he asked me if I was a member of the IES. Well, I had no clue what he was talking about. I said, the IES? He said, yes, the Illuminating Engineering Society. I said, no, I don't believe I am. He said, well, let me tell you this, my boy. If you're taking lighting seriously, you'd be a member of the IES. So I suggest when you come a member, you come back and see me, because then I'll know you're taking lighting seriously. Mm. Very good, sir. And 1 month later, I became a member. Rest is history. That should be a good campaign for getting membership, I would think. Yeah. If you're not a member, don't come see me.
I was
some
thinking,
might have a problem with that, but it's worth thinking about.
Right. So how did you get into lighting as a whole then over 55 years ago?
Well, the other side story I'll bore you with is that, so I joined the mighty General Electric Company of England, GEC, nothing to do with GE of America. As a matter of fact, they like to brag that they were formed 4 years before GE, a little bit of rivalry there. And I became a trainee at a college. I went through all of the divisions, and they're from turbo engines to domestic appliances to lighting to cable. And I kind of rather fancied the domestic lighting, the domestic department. Mainly because the showrooms were full of beautiful young ladies. I mean, it was not really, it just seemed an obvious choice to me. But apparently a lot of other people thought that too, because there were no openings. And the only opening they had was in lighting. And my father was an executive of the lighting division of the company. So to me, that was a no-no. I didn't want to do that, but I succumbed. And interestingly enough, the lighting division in the GEC was Osram. And they had taken the name Osram from Osram GmbH of Germany. Mm. And they had use of that name to all the Commonwealth countries. So if you would go to all the Commonwealth countries under the Great Britain, it was called Osram Lighting. Anywhere else, it was called GEC Lamps and Lighting. Hmm. Only the Brits would come up with something like that. But anyhow, that's the way it worked out. Worked for them in London. And then I worked for them in Canada. And they transferred me to Chicago on a special assignment. Then they wanted to recall me back to England. And you know what? I kind of liked it in North America. I liked the status quo. I was brought up, I guess you might say, in an upper middle class background. I mean, God forbid I would sit down to dinner at the table, my mother's table, without a jacket and tie on. I mean, it just would not happen. Mm. And I wouldn't disrespect her that way. And you only knew friends of friends that, you know, sort of, if you will, qualified. But then I came to America and Canada, which prepped me, I must say, for Chicago, because I arrived in Chicago in the middle of the Democratic riots in 68, and it was like, oh my God, I thought I'd walked into a John Wayne movie set or something. I couldn't believe it. But apparently I did, and I stayed because I became a citizen. But it was an interesting journey, to see the changes in lighting over all of these years. And, you know, sometimes when I'm teaching courses in lighting and I delve into the history, people don't want to know that. And I think that's a little disappointing. You know, when you're lecturing to somebody that's a lighting designer that's never used anything other than an LED lighting source, something a little tragic about that.
Yeah, there is something. There is something. It's almost like there's an ignorance about them that is very palpable.
Right. I mean, what about the low pressure sodium lamp? Love that lamp.
Oh, that's a good lamp. Actually, those are hot items. If anyone's got low pressure sodium and you want to move them, call me because I got lots of customers looking for those
Really,
items.
is that right?
Yes.
Well,
Yeah, it's a hot
I
item right
wish I
now.
had a cent for every one of those I'd sold. But I mean,
Yeah.
the 180 watt, I mean, it was close to a couple of hundred lumens per watt. It was just an incredible lamp. I remember a story. So only at the time, and I don't think it changed, only Philips and GC of England were making that lamp. And GE wasn't very fond of that fact. And I remember them saying that, that it's very dangerous to use low pressure sodium lamps because if there's an accident on the road, you can't tell the difference between oil and blood under a low pressure sodium lamp.
That's
They
true.
actually put that story out. Incredible.
Yeah, low visual acuity is the problem there, but there's evidence coming out that the it's interesting because we're using old metrics are so persistent. Like for example, Britain and America still use miles. Like, are you guys idiots? Like nobody think of miles? Like what are you talking about? Kilometers, there's 1,000 meters in a kilometer. It's like it's ridiculous, but these metrics are so persistent. Inches? Really? Inches? It's such a complicated metric to understand, but once you get it in there, the lighting industry is stuck on old metrics. And so what we're doing, Richard, is we're using the metrics that we measured low pressure sodium from and other filament and vaporized mercury vapor based light sources to measure LEDs, and we have huge problems. You've been in the game so long. Are we going to be able to get past these metrics, these old metrics that don't really mean much in the age of LED?
Well, I think we have to. It's kind of interesting. You talk about the monochromatic color of the low pressure sodium lamp and distorting colors, but how about people that throw out a 6,000 Kelvin lamp in a scenario where it mixes up the colors and you can't see what's what? In a car dealership, it's got 6,000 Kelvin because they think it's the bright light source to use, and you can't even determine the color of the Bentley at the bottom of the
Sure,
showroom.
I
Well,
agree.
maybe you don't need to, I don't know. But yeah, what goes around comes around, I guess. I mean, one of my favorites is the MR16, and I was talking about the MR16 and some of the models of that lamp were just absolutely, no pun intended, brilliant
Yeah, for
that
sure.
you can't replicate with an LED.
No, you can't do it.
And again, going back to, of course, I'm saying an MR16, what's that? And
We took a little tour of California. I don't know, Greg, how 4 years ago or something like that.
yeah,
And
maybe even longer, but yeah.
all the lighting distributors had like a secret area where they were stockpiling GE Brilliant MR16s. You know
Oh,
that
beautiful lamp.
they were stockpiling them and hiding them because they
Oh,
were
my God.
illegal. Like it's Al Capone. I got the illegal
Yeah.
light bulbs. Because everybody wanted to buy those light bulbs still,
Right.
because they were so spectacular. You mentioned your service to the lighting industry, and I this is something that we see a lot of trends now where young people seem to be moving from company to company. And I call them floaters. You look at somebody's resume and they've worked at five lighting companies in 8 years or five, six lighting companies in 10 years and they're 32 years old. And they joke about it. Yeah, I only got a year and a half at a company and then I want to move somewhere else because I get bored. I think it's because we haven't instilled in our young people the idea of service to the lighting industry, where you go to Nailed as someone who works for Atlas Lighting. So you're there, you're amongst your colleagues. You now represent a company, and that service portion of it fulfills that kind of existential angst for something else, because you realize that when you're serving your company and you're serving your own career, as a part of the lighting industry for 2% of your time or 5% of your time is service to the lighting industry, and you're amongst your peers, you realize that you need roots at a company. You need to stay somewhere. If you move and you go to another company, maybe you can't be a part of that association anymore. Maybe you can't be a part of that society. And so how do we instill that idea that you have to serve the industry you work in into our younger generation?
Well, I think you use the magic word there, career. You know, are we looking at this as a career, it's a viable career that you can stay in and advance in? But so many people are so impatient today. I mean, they want advancement within 1 year or 18 months, and if they don't get it, they move on. They don't understand. Okay. It's what do we used to say in the old days, earning your stripes. You know, prove your value, commit yourself. What's wrong with that?
I would add something to that as well. I would add respect your elders, actually. That's another part of that. You know, like you have people that come in the company, they want to be the president of the company in 2 years or 5 years. And it's like, what do you mean? There's people that have been working here for 25 years. They have a lot of experience in this industry. You need to earn your stripes. And part of that is earning your stripes, but it's also respect for people that are older than you with knowledge. I think it's lacking.
Totally lacking. And it's kind of sad, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people have said, back in the day, 30, 40 years, how the hell do you stay that long in this business? Well, because I enjoy what I'm doing. But by the way, you will never be successful working 8 hours a day. That's not the way. You don't get in at 8:01 and leave at 5:01, or in some cases, 4:30. Nobody wants to give the time. Nobody wants to give the dedication to the cause. They just don't want to do it. They don't understand what they're missing. I mean, I and many others, and particularly everybody in this company that I work for, because you know who the leadership and ownership are. I mean, we can't wait to get up and come to work in the morning.
Mm-hmm, yeah, me too.
It's a beautiful feeling. What challenge have we got? What are we going to change? What are we going to do today? What are we going to create today?
Yeah. My dad's 77
what are we
years
be
old.
Proud of?
Yeah. My dad's 77 years old. He comes in every day. Comes in every day. He's after orders. He's talking to the customers. And people, some of his people come in that we, you know, that come to our office that are neighbors or whatever to buy light bulbs. They come in because they know we're here. We've been here for so long, almost 50 years now. And they come in and they're, why aren't you retired? You're in the way. And I say to them, no way. Are you talking about this guy's the heart and soul of the place? No, he loves it. So the other, you know, the other thing that, you know, I look at sort of, I'm 46. You know, Greg, I think you're 43 or something like that. You're in that.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a couple of babies then.
Yeah, there you go. except I don't have any, like a baby, I don't have any hair. So, but you know, it's almost like they're being, like this idea, what you see a lot of out there is like awards for 30 under 30, the top 30 under 30, the top 35 under 35, the top 40 under 40. You see these constant awards going to this millennial generation, and it's almost like the hockey tournament that nobody's allowed to win. Everybody's the top 30 under 30. All you got to do is apply. And you get it. And I get emails from people, and it'll say in their email signature, top 30 under 30 class of 2017. And I say to myself, like, my head hits the desk. Like, is that supposed to mean something to somebody? You know, I don't understand that. You know, and so I feel like, why are you asking for awards from the lighting industry? You should be looking at, it goes back to JFK. You know, why are you, what can the industry do for you? Or what can you do for the industry? Which one is more fulfilling? And in fact, Richard, which one pays more, actually? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, of course, we all understand that the youth of our country is important, and we all grow with the youth and bringing them along. But I don't know, I was joking about your passion when we started off. I mean, you can't teach passion. You know, it grows, and you either you have it or you don't have it. And it's just, you don't have that passion with people anymore. And it's in, I don't know. I get stumbled for words when I'm talking about it because how many meetings do we go into and we sort of get carried away? And I was like, had a product the other day and I was saying, oh God, this product is so gorgeous. And I said, boy, you got a little sexual leverage. And I said, okay, I love this product, because
Yeah,
it
sure.
does what it's supposed to do. And you get
Yeah.
excited about it.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what people are missing, being creative with a product and then promoting it and then selling it and then seeing what it does. I mean, we're very biased in the lighting industry because we say, you sell all these products all over the world and you never get to see them. You never get to brag about them. But wow, going down the street, look at that store. Look at
Yeah.
that road. Look how great that looks. I was involved in that. It was a
Sure.
beautiful thing to be involved in. And you don't have to go and get necessarily an award for that. You don't have to bring people out to look at it. You know that you did that. You were involved in it. Or, as I like to sometimes say, I touched that project. Maybe I only supplied the product and somebody else designed everything around it, but I still touched it. And I can still be proud of that. Create a
For
scenario where
sure.
you can be proud of the work that you do. That encourages you to get up the next day and do more of it. But we've lost one of the problems, I think, is that it's a sore subject of mine, and we've lost the art of selling. We just don't sell anymore. We don't give people a reason to want to say, they never bought my product. Well, did you give them a reason?
It's
Hey,
such a
there's a
good
novel
question.
idea.
It's such a good
There's a novel
question.
idea, right? Give somebody a reason to buy your product.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
They call that salient features.
So what has been, Richard, what has been the most exciting time in lighting for you over your 60 years?
Well, well, when we come to LEDs, I sometimes say, now that was the downfall of our industry. Can we go back before we had LEDs? Now everybody's going to go, this crazy because I said that. But the truth of the matter is, before LEDs arrived, we had 30 or 40 competitors in different areas and product groups, and all for free trade. And then LEDs come along, and I got 500 competitors in every area because people just jump. It's so easy to get into the LED business with, in some areas, very little monitoring and people saying things that we all know is not quite true. And I remember a case in distribution where somebody came in trying to sell me something, and I said, well, how long have you been in the LED business? He said, oh, 6 months. I said, 6 months? What were you doing before that? What sort of engineering technical background? You can't make this up. He was selling hot air balloon rides.
And God love him. I appreciate that he's
Yeah.
working, but yeah,
Yeah.
it's tough.
It's tough. And we've all got the scenario where they've got a 10-year warranty and been in business 1 year. We've all been down that road. I started carrying a chromaticity meter around, so when somebody came in and I'd do the measurement and said, this is 4,000 K. Yeah, I don't think so. But I would say that what is the most exciting? Well, I can tell you that we were all pretty excited about the quartz iodine lamp.
Sure. Yeah.
That was a lamp that lasted a couple of thousand hours or more.
Yeah, sure.
The Osram GEC days at Wembley was an incredible, huge factory and coiled incandescent lamps, and then we double coiled them. Now we had at least 1,000 hours out of them. Boy, that was a pretty good thing. But I would say that with the advent of LEDs, of course, the controllability that allowed us to do the controls that we could never do, certainly with HID and not with fluorescence. So it did open a whole new world when LEDs came along and had standard dimming drivers. It allowed us to do a lot more. So now today we basically ask, all the lighting, don't we? Well, how are you going to control it? And that there's another issue that people want all these different controls and then never use them, or if or they don't know even how to change it to or to spend $2,000 to get them reprogrammed and stuff. But I think a lot of controls are oversold, but don't quote me.
Well, the
me
problem
on that.
Is that a lot of controls are fussy. A lot of controls are very fussy. No. You know, they you know, I'll be honest with you. So I go and visit property managers all the time, okay, that have existing lighting systems. And you know what they never say to me? I want controls. They never say that. What they say is, how many people does it take to change a light bulb? Because nobody can seem to fix this for me, and it's costing thousands of dollars to fix it. And there's, you know, the fixture's from Italy, and the company doesn't make it anymore or whatever. And so I think the, you know, what the lighting industry is saying and what actual end users at commercial properties, multi-residential high rises, these places actually want, I think are two different things.
Does the end user really know what he's getting? I mean, that is a huge question right there.
Yeah, for sure. Like that, like for example, let's just take LED bypass tubes. Okay. As an example.
Okay.
Right. Does the customer now, when they're ordering, they used to call up Premier Lighting and speak to Greg, send me two boxes of the tubes I ordered last time, right? So they send in the box, sends them the boxes, whatever. PO shoots out, puts the light bulbs in. Now, is it single-ended bypass? Is it double-ended bypass? Is it both? Is it ballast
yeah,
compatible?
Yeah.
Is it, what voltage is it? You know, and so we've complexity introduces cost. And what the lighting industry has done in the last 10 years is increase the complexity by a magnitude. There's no standardization. Lamps come in all different lumen packages, wattages, colors, wiring diagrams, compatible, ballast compatible, both type C, type B, type A. And we've pushed all this complexity onto the customer. This is going to be very profitable for lighting distributors that stick around after the boom. But, you know, I don't think I think it violates in a way the contract that, or the unwritten contract that the lighting industry had with the joke, how many people does it take to change a light bulb?
Right.
You know, how do we get out of this?
I think and I think with controls, it's interesting, isn't it, that with controls, it's controlled by the rep considerably. I mean, any successful rep of a decent size, I mean, he probably has 15 or 20 people in his organization just dedicated to controls. Mm. The designer is leaning on the rep very heavily for advice on all of these controls, because who else understands the complexity of it? I mean, there are some people that have suggested that controls even might be spun off as a separate industry run by an independent integrator or a rep.
Mm.
Because you go on a bid and you're looking at a bid and you say, what about the controls? Well, oh, I forgot those. Those are on E24 or something. Certainly on an E1. Mm. And everybody bypasses it because they don't understand them.
That's because it changes so quickly as well. And even PNNL, I think, has thrown in the towel on their controls lighting program as well. Haven't they, Greg? The last I heard that they're not running it anymore.
I think so. Yeah, that's what I thought I heard too. Yep.
You know, they don't even
mention outdoor controls.
That's the most, to me, Richard, that's the most obvious application for them, is in municipal street lighting, to me, is the most obvious application for digital lighting controls for a ton of different reasons.
You would think, but a lot of hiccups there too. Yeah. So,
you know.
Yeah, do you think.
Oh, go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say, do you think, you mentioned when you used to be able to sell lighting products, do you think we're going to get back to that? And why I think of that is because, you know, the LED thing came about. Everybody just sold LEDs. Everything just got converted. And now I feel like all the issues that have arisen are, it's like, let's go back and figure out what to do right now and, you know, to fix what was done wrong. And I think when you come to that, it's kind of like selling it again. Like, let's focus on what the product actually does, not just that it's LED and it saves energy and it fits in your fixture or
gets a rebate.
Yeah. Yep. Like, get rid of all that stuff and let's actually sell based on the light you need to do the task at hand, because that's what lighting's for, right?
Exactly.
We're going to get back to
And how much more do you drive the energy around? You know, I got news for everybody. If you buy an LED fixture, you're saving energy. End of. So how much more do you want to drive it down? Mm. So what about how you install a fixture? Bits and pieces that come with it. How you can palletize it. So if I, does it make a difference if I can put 100 high bays on a pallet? Probably does.
I think it does. I think it does.
Certainly for shipping, certainly for staging. Mm. You know, does it make a difference that I would include all the hardware, you know, mounting hardware? It's not an add-on. It's not an extra. I would think that would make a difference. Does it make a difference I can install a sensor in 3 seconds? You know, these are salient features that the contractors need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
The you know, when it comes to the idea of sales, okay, so you're saying that the art needs to return to this industry. So, I mean, you know, if you're an order taker, like that's one thing, you can take an order, right? Taking orders is not exactly, I'm not putting it down. Being an order taker is a job too, okay? Like that's a serious job. You got to get it right. But there's something in sales that that I think has become uncool, that I think we need to make cool again. Like salespeople used to be cool cats. You know, they used to be proud of the fact that they were salesmen. They would put salesman on their card. And now everyone's like a, you know, a tech, you know, they have some fancy title other than consultant or whatever. And I think that's part of the problem is that somehow we've, you know, diminished the value of the salesperson. And I don't know who said it, but nothing happens until somebody sells something. So it's the most important
thing.
You're
so right. You know, you're reminding me of my father who held several board directorships. And if you didn't know him that well and you would ask him, you know, what do you do? And it was very simple. He'd say, oh, I'm a professional salesman. That was his stock answer.
Yeah.
And he traveled the world consistently, but that was his, I'm a professional salesman. So that echoes the point you're trying to say. And the same thing is when, if I'm going to a rep or I'm going out to salespeople, one of the first phrases out of my mouth should be, I'm here to help you make money.
Mm.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, when I became a citizen, they said, it's okay to make money. That's the American way.
Yeah, for sure.
It's okay to make money. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. That's what America has done right in the past, actually.
Is
this vertical mobility that people, that it opens. It's not as open to people in Europe. It's not.
No.
There are hard ceilings in Europe to that kind of mobility that exists in America and Canada as well.
Yeah, if you have a goal to reach, particularly in Europe, and once you've reached that goal, end of, you're done. Whereas in America, you reach that goal, and okay, what's the next goal? To keep on going.
Mm.
And it's a question, it's that magical word, education. We have to be able to educate the young people that there is a career in this industry, and if you stick with it, it can be very successful. And guess what? It can be very exciting. And don't you need some excitement in life to live a good, healthy life?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Life's been exciting for me. I've had ups and downs, but basically it's an exciting life that I continue to have. And, you know, when I came on board with Louvers, with Derek and Devin, you know, one of the first statements was, hey, I need to be here 5 days a week. I cannot be working remote. I need people.
Yes.
People need people. I think that might be a good song somewhere. But people need people, right?
For sure.
People.
Yeah, tribe.
Going to what you said there, Richard, about the how can I help you make money? I have one quote. I got this bulletin board in front of me at my office here. One quote that I have printed right in front of me that came from Paul Hafner. How can I best employ the practice of lighting to support my customer's ability to make a profit? Can't beat that, man. That's exactly what it is about selling
And
lighting.
you couldn't, and Paul, what a, anybody that was blessed to know that man. What a
Amen.
guy.
Totally.
I was so excited my car dropped out.
You know, God rest Paul Hafner, man. What a gem that he was, and what a loss to the lighting industry that he's gone.
And he put excitement in.
Oh,
You couldn't come out of
totally.
a session with him without, wow, I'm ready to go. All
For
fine, let's
sure.
go.
Yeah. And you know what? The other thing too, though, he also, if you were wrong, he told you. That was the other thing
Oh,
about
yeah.
Paul. Like, if he didn't like what you're doing, he would talk to you about that, actually. And that's rare now. You know, he was exciting. He was passionate. He would get you excited about being involved in lighting. But if he thought you were doing something wrong, he was happy to bring it up and say, "Hey, that's incorrect, buddy, and you need to change your focus on that."
That
And
came under you're entitled to your opinion. You just happen to be wrong.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I want to talk to you one about one more thing. You know, I think we use words a lot in our society, and people tend to associate certain words with good things. But words are just benign. They actually, most of them don't really have a meaning unto themselves. So, for example, you know, people say they want change, right? And, you know, when people say that and they say they want change, I think what they really mean is they want stability. They want to change themselves so that they feel stable, not that the whole world should change for them. You understand what I mean? Like when they say, I need the world to change because I'm unstable. But it's actually that's exactly what they're saying. I need the world needs to change for me because I feel unstable, right? And the fact is that what the change that needs to happen is people need to put stability in place for themselves. And this industry as well needs to start inserting stability for itself. And I see this, Greg, when we start making products like the DLC didn't tell us to make these products. The IES didn't tell us to make these products. Manufacturers made them. These type A, B, double-ended and single-ended tubes that solve all the problems. Nobody told the lighting industry to make that. That's innovation on its own. That's where we have to take back our destiny, Richard, as an industry. Do you
Oh,
agree with
yeah.
that?
100%. I'm your poster boy. Let's get going. No,
Amen.
I think it really, I mean, it's a wonderful industry. And if you're dedicated and devoted to the cause, it's a good life. You know, there's people send us little hiccups once in a while, but we overcome them. It's just another thing to overcome. And deliver the right product at the right price at the right time so the end user is happy with what he got. Don't let's forget the end user.
I think that's a good place to call it. Richard,
Yeah.
thank you for being a guest on the Get a Grip on Lighting
Well, thank
podcast.
you for giving me the platform. Much appreciate it, and look forward to meeting you in person one of these days.
Yes. And before you go, folks, I'd like you to go to ETISSL.com, Greg Eric. Check it out.
That's right. Outdoor lighting lineup. It's got it all. Canopy lights, area lights, floodlights, wall packs, selectable color, everything you need for the exterior. ETI's got.
ETISSL.com. And of course, if you're tired of seeing your industry as a nail being pounded by the climate change hammer, and you want to take back this industry, you want to take back the destiny of this industry, and you want to get involved, and you happen to have light bulbs in a warehouse that you sell over a counter, or you sell on the internet, or you sell over the phone, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors is the place that can empower you. That's right. Give a little back. This is not about a payback. Nailed is not offering you a payback or a return on investment. Nailed is offering you an opportunity to get involved with the lighting industry, to influence policy, to make changes for that end user that Richard was talking about. So go to NAILD.org. And if you don't have light bulbs in a warehouse, there's a host of other associations out there that are great too. NALMCO, IALD, IES is another one for everybody. So get involved. Thanks for listening.